God, you guys are horrible.
You're just upset because you're not on the in with this joke.
No, I'm. That is totally not why I'm upset. I am upset for many, many reasons today.
But we love you, John.
I love you too, buddy.
I have stuff for you. It's going to make you happy.
I missed you guys so much this weekend. My weekend sucks so much.
We missed you too, honestly.
Hey, yeah. True dat.
Do you guys want to record a podcast?
I do want to record a podcast.
All right, let's record a podcast.
Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
Why isn't it still PAX?
Why? If it sucked before, why are we doing this again?
Third time's a charm.
For a second, I was like, having a stroke?
do you guys smell toast? Fuck it, we're keeping this one. Welcome to episode 58 of the Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast. I am one of your hosts, John, because I know you get so pissed off if I was to say... I'm your host, John.
I'm your ultra host, Fred.
And with us this week is Ed Farkiev, notable for owning his own business, folks. Oh, okay. That's
he's a small business owner before the Obama administration, so it didn't do so well.
Yeah,
so,
he has many, many cutting of metal tools.
Yeah, it was after Bloomberg started.
This joke's gonna suck.
It wasn't even a joke. It's factual and kind of depressing.
You know what's... Miguel Bloombergo is my favorite Twitter.
Oh, it absolutely is
my
favorite.
Oh, God, it's so good.
There was one on there recently. It's like, El Frio Outsido Ghetto Caliento Chocolato or something like that.
Here's the thing. That's what I'm going to... Like, man, I feel bad for people that don't live in New York. You know? They don't even know that it's making fun of those awesome press conferences.
Oh, I know. With the Lydia Calia or whatever her name is.
Oh, the sign language lady?
Sign language lady.
Oh, she's so great. Oh, she's so great.
They did parody that on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of Saturday Night Live people get outside of New York, though, other than the fact that it's just silly things.
Yeah. You know, 30 Rock is only about 60% as funny.
Right. I imagine Seinfeld much the same way, right?
Nah, like, Seinfeld, I think, is very less...
I mean, do people in, like, Minnesota understand parking jokes? Like, I don't want to give up my spot?
Man, you're shitting on the Midwest. Usually that's my job, Fred.
I don't know. I'm not even shitting on them. They don't have parking problems.
Hey, John. Minneapolis could... There's snow in my parking spot. I can't park in it. Like... Prince has parked a purple motorcycle in my spot.
I thought you meant
make
the musical
Prince joke.
Group.
God damn it. So, John, we're a podcast, and...
the cast of Major League 4 is filled up my restaurant, so my reservation was canceled.
Have we taken that as far as it's going to go?
What else is from Minneapolis? So, what are we doing?
Depression.
We're doing an episode, John, but this one's going to be a little different because some of us just got back from PAX East 2013.
High five.
So I'm gonna get real drunk and you guys talk about PAX.
So we wanted to talk about PAX. So I wrote some notes. So you know, I broke this up. So I just wanted to go over like what we thought of the con overall this year as compared to other years.
Oh gosh, this is good. Why don't you give me my presents first?
Well, we'll get to that. So
no, give me presents.
All right. So
give me presents.
Okay. It was a great PAX, I think. Let's get that out of the way.
This year, the swag was off the hook.
Yeah. So best year for swag we've ever had.
I had to go back to the 90s.
Are you making a net positive on this trip?
It was one of the best packs.
Like, I mean, you're end up not paying anything, right?
Oh, you mean financially?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Yeah. So, you know, the woman who bought my pass, she was nice. You know, she sent me a little note because I had included like postcards and swag when I sent her the pass. Right. And you know, it's like, yeah, you know, we'll check you out, and I'll be sure to drop by Able Gamers and stuff because I gave the money from that to Able Gamers. But yeah, present.
Okay,
presents!
So first and foremost, this was the biggest item of the year, of the con. These are promo packs A, B, and C of the limited edition PAX Cards Against Humanity set.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Well, here you go, John. Gotta reach over.
Reach around.
So those were relatively, they weren't hard to get, but they were in demand.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And they're three packs, and you only got one in your goodie bag, if any. So we had to not only go around for goodie bags multiple times.
Oh, God,
but that
bastard.
Was everyone. Literally everyone was doing it.
Everyone was doing that. And
but we found out later in the Kickstarter room they were just giving them out. So we got a couple of sets each.
So when you went to the Kickstarter room, Cards Against Humanity, the company, had a table set up with a bunch of product for sale. And it just had a line, just nonstop line of people buying product. And
let's not pull our punches here. The Kickstarter room really was basically Cards Against Humanity HQ.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was really what the majority of people.
They had other things occupying space, but it was the.
But you couldn't even get to them because of the line for cards.
In last year, the Kickstarter room, I went in there and I was talking to the guy who from Code Hero, and like, have you guys followed that story at all?
No.
Like, everybody. He hasn't delivered anything. He hasn't put out any updates. He said he's out of money. Like, basically, the game's not going to come out. It's pretty incredible. I've been supporting a lot of stuff on Kickstarter.
I'm assuming it was funded?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Oh,
I've been – that guy, he seemed nice, but he seemed like kind of – he didn't seem sketchy, but he seemed like he had no fucking clue what he was doing.
He probably just got in over his head,
poor
right?
Business
oh, yeah. Well, speaking of what happened to me in Cart Life real quickly. But, you know – I've been supporting, like, a bunch of shit on there recently. Like, Retronauts, one of my favorite podcasts, like, support them at a real high tier. Jeff Cannata's doing, I don't know if you guys know the Totally Rad Show, but he's doing a new show, so I threw him $1 because...
Yeah, there's another podcast that you can use your support. It's, I forget the name, it's not very big.
Yeah, I supported some games that didn't get funded. Recently, like, I forget what it was. It was something.
Well, I mean, you don't really lose anything that
way. You mentioned
way, right?
Something. Yeah. Wait, Cart Life? It's
yeah, that's
it's another crowdfunding.
No, that's our game club.
We're going to talk about
getting
today.
It.
Oh, okay.
I got in over my head very quickly.
So the Kickstarter room was really Cards Against Humanity headquarters, but that's the first item of swag. What else do we got in Fred's Magic Goodie Bag?
I wonder what's.
You're basically getting all the stuff I have extra of, or I'm not going to use.
Yeah,
so,
no, because I know you didn't get. Did you get me a hat?
We got you the Borderlands level cap.
Now, that's clever.
And I think you should tell Anderson the story about how you actually got that.
Okay,
hat.
So Fred didn't actually properly get that, but the way that you got
covers
that
covers your bald spot nicely.
Yeah.
Dude, that's filling in with the
profusion. It looks good on you with the glasses. Anyway, the way to get the hat was you waited, of course, in line.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
And there was this awesome... vending machine, like as you would see in the game. So you press the blue button, and then you stick your hand into the slot to grab your swag.
Yeah.
And once in a while, a hand will grab you, and a midget.
Whoa.
Well, no, the character from the game, the psycho midget.
The psycho midget will pop out with an axe in hand and attack you.
Just like in the game.
Like in the game. It was really cool. And the midget was awesome about it. And
were they showing aliens, Colonial Marines?
No.
Actually, that was the only... Gearbox was there. Like, Borderlands was there. But we didn't see them other than that display.
I feel like they kind of have to.
They didn't have a booth. They had a room, I believe.
Yeah.
And we never saw it.
There were a couple of rooms there. So the hat is one thing. Now, here's another one that you could probably wear on top of the hat. This is the Machinima / Hawken beanie.
Oh, I know you got like three.
I got two of those.
No, yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was just signing up for their newsletter. and let's see what else I got in my magic bag here. I don't think I have anything else.
God
for you.
Damn!
Oh, no, I do have something else for you. This was a T-shirt. This was for the Nvidia Shield, the Project Shield or whatever.
Which is very cool.
Lovely.
Just a big black T-shirt that you're probably never going to wear and turn into a rat.
I am going to jizz into this. Oh, it's really soft, too.
That's from his jizz.
Not quite a soak bag full of puppies, but...
Lastly, what I have here...
Definitely not
soak
least.
Bag full of puppies. This I couldn't get you one, but I got myself one. This is a MOGA.
Yeah, it's not going to work. It doesn't work with iOS, right?
Doesn't work with iOS. Works with Android.
That's neat, man. Oh, let me fuck around with that.
It's a $50 controller. Works... Via Bluetooth.
Did you bought one?
No, they gave these away.
They had none for sale, even.
Yeah.
At least not that I know
this
of.
This is the older model. They have, like, a pro model coming out. I'm walking off the mic here. They have a pro model of that coming out that feels like a real gamepad, somewhere between a PS3 and an Xbox controller.
Yo, this is bullshit. Doesn't this look perfect? Like, why is it
How perfect is it?
It's why insane. Does it not work with iOS? Oh, man, it's...
Well, I'll tell you why.
Oh my god, it is considerably more comfortable than a 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh wow, this feels good. Like, yeah. I feel like my hands won't get cramps.
It's pretty good, and it has triggers.
Who makes this?
I think the company is called Moga.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Their booth was really cool. It was like a zombie shelter. So they had like these chain link fences, and like it's just a really cool setup. And while you're waiting in line, they give out stickers, and they had people dressed up as zombies, just kind of
yeah.
And
God, my jealousy is.
So the reason they did the zombie theme, by the way, so the reason Moga is not on iOS, two reasons: it's Bluetooth, and like I think there's certain rules about Bluetooth devices.
Well, there is a standard for controllers on the iCade, basically,
right?
You know, set their API is basically the standard for.
So
for
this
iOS
controller,
controls.
The apps that are compatible with it, and it's not compatible with every app.
Yeah, no.
It has a proprietary API that the apps are used or get built to.
I bet it ends up on iOS, man. I would buy one of these if it worked on iOS.
You have to actually install the Moga app to pair the devices.
That might be an issue.
The app itself is a storefront. The games that you buy don't all come from the Play Store. Some of them come from the Amazon.
And don't forget
version.
To tell them what comes with the controller.
Oh, what comes with the controller is a full copy of Pac-Man and a full copy of Sonic CD.
Oh, that's pretty rad.
And the bag that they give it to you in comes with a zombie survival like guide thing and also batteries for it.
Yeah. Like they really thought about it. The zombie survival guide and the zombie theme of the booth is because the big game that they were promoting that's coming out on the Moga is Dead Trigger 2.
And it looked pretty good.
It looked pretty good. I played it on at least two devices while I was there.
Mm.
This, I'm not going to convert, but damn.
Free controller. Now, that also works with tablets, though. It works with any Android device.
It's not going to fit.
No. Well, no but the tablet you can put on a stand, it's Bluetooth.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually need to be connected.
Oh, yeah, and you can just be like this. Yeah, that's rad. I like this.
There's a strong possibility that might actually work with the Ouya as well.
You could probably map it. This would probably be rad for on live.
Could be. Anyway, enough with the swag. I think, it definitely was the best swag year ever. The stuff that we didn't bring here, like the other big one was the magic stuff. The goggles.
That wasn't so much swag, but I mean... Yeah,
it was like you had to earn it, but you could earn it by doing minor stuff.
Do me a favor, talking to the mic for the rest of the show.
Yeah, Magic the Gathering had some really cool show exclusives. They had a t-shirt with a Chandra art done by the Penny Arcade artists. They had the cool pins. The cool pin.
The Penny Arcade pins?
Penny Arcade is their new pin brand. And there was a lot of trading. I think a lot of companies had their own.
Oh, it's like the Olympics. That's adorable. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like a bunch of little kids running around with pins on their caps.
But the really clever thing that they did.
Walt Disney World.
Shut up.
Look at these pins on my utility kilt.
The really clever thing that they did swag-wise, they had these little sheets that you had to get stamped by several different booths and different companies to get these pair of cosplay goggles for their character Chandra. And the goggles are completely unwearable, but they look good.
The plastic is so hard that you'll break the bridge of your nose.
Totally unwearable. But, again, they look really cool, and it got you to go to these other booths.
Yeah, steampunk goggles really end up, belong.
They end up here or here. Forehead or neck.
I was just about to say.
So, yeah, speaking of magic, well, not really. Like, did you guys notice, this was actually a big year for announcements at PAX. Like, Blizzard announced their, digital version of the World of Warcraft card game.
We were in the car driving there when that actually happened.
Oh my god!
Just Chris, who was with us, actually was monitoring it on his phone and then like shouted it out in the car when it happened.
Yeah, that's kind of underwhelming, right? Like,
Blizzard
said they had an announcement and then it ended up being that.
I honestly thought the announcement was going to be the movie coming out for World of Warcraft.
Yeah, what else got announced? I feel like there were a couple more big announcements.
Should I bring up the Borderlands thing?
Yeah, go for it, bro.
Okay, I'll bring it up.
Yo, did you guys see Ken Levine at any point?
You would have heard me swoon.
From there?
Yeah.
Dude, I would have gone to at least something with Ken Levine because, swoon.
So Borderlands announced the new level cap. Of course, you're going to be able to get
I can't stand up now.
And then and the new, the sixth player class, the Berserker, the Psycho Berserker. I forgot
something
his name.
Along those
Is he included
lines, yeah.
in things I've purchased already?
I think he's just an automatic.
Yeah, I think like, if you have the season pass, it. You get him. Or
okay,
whatever.
So they're trying to show a little goodwill considering, you know.
Yeah, I would say that probably is something along those lines.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty sizable thing. I can't imagine this wasn't pre-planned from the beginning.
Well, who knows? Oh, I doubt. I mean, like, you know, who knows how, who
cool.
knows
it's,
who knows what systems they have built in where they can, you
it's
know,
it's good to have another melee class. A full melee class, one that isn't
a pure
yeah,
a
like
pure
Brick from
melee.
The first game, right?
Brick from the first game.
Yeah.
But much cooler looking in my
So opinion. Yeah, I mean, there were a good number of announcements there. You want to talk about some of the awesome stuff we saw? I think that might be suitable. So, I'm going to start off here. I gave you a t-shirt for it. The NVIDIA Project Shield.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fucking worthless.
It was... No, seriously, dude. I didn't think I'd say this. It was a lot cooler in person than I thought it would be. It feels great.
But what's the... Like, how...
I agree. Like, who...
What's the use case for that?
I know. You can't... This is not a pocket game system, right? You cannot... This thing is huge.
Yeah.
Right? You can't carry it on the subway. It probably needs a separate carrying
case.
Well,
and it also barely... Like... The really good functionality of it is when it's beaming a signal from your PC when you're streaming stuff.
Right.
So, like, the use case for this is, like, man, if I want to play games on my PC on my couch, like, yo, I got an HDMI cable, son.
It's, I think what's going to wind up happening is I think that it's a very niche device, and it's going to, it certainly, I don't think they have any delusion about that. I think there's a very small segment of the people who are going to be ravenous for the thing. But those people who actually are interested in this thing are going to be very well satisfied. Like, it really is a nice piece of hardware for what it is.
So, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, NVIDIA is releasing this handheld that it's going to be Android-based, but the big selling point is it's going to be streaming compatible with your current NVIDIA-based, you know,
it's basically a
PC.
Handheld computer. I mean, you can. It has
well,
HDMI
but it's,
out.
The streaming
and all that.
Is really the thing.
It's kind of like what the Steam Box probably should have been.
If
this thing had Steam on it and you could just output big picture
it does.
Mode,
it does. You're
does
gonna
it?
Be.
I didn't have it on
stream. You're gonna stream your Steam games to it.
Oh, but not
natively. Shit's not gonna be installed. Shit's not gonna be installed. Then that fucker. Yeah. You know that handheld cannot run. Fucking. Crisis, you know?
Sure. But I did play... I mean, it's Android, right? But I did play... they had a copy of Dead Trigger 2 on the one I played, and it played really nicely.
Now, Fred, that wasn't the only third-party handheld system.
Oh, no, we should talk about that.
Yeah. Okay, so there was this... just wandering around...
NVIDIA's booth was... let's say NVIDIA's booth was size 7.
Okay.
At a size 1 booth. Somewhere in the back, by in between the escalators.
I think it was underneath one of the escalators.
Yeah.
There was another. I'm doing air quotes. Booth.
Oh, that guy with the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I saw a write up about him.
I don't know. Like, it was just a table with. It looked like just some junk thrown on it because I didn't.
Was this guy with the handmade signs? Because I saw this guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Handmade signs.
I don't know. I didn't know what I was looking at because there was one handheld thing on the table with like a whole like QWERTY keypad.
It looked like a Jaguar controller a little bit.
I don't know what they're. I likened it to a smart TV controller.
Yeah, it's an open source handheld like Linux based version of what the Shield is trying.
Yeah,
to do.
I didn't get that looking at the.
I had to research it.
Holy God!
And there was like one person working the booth.
Okay, we're talking about something different. Like, because I was there was a guy that just sitting on the floor that got wrote up as the indie booth.
No.
Yeah, this table. I was looking at it. There was like assorted candies, flyers from other gaming, you know, booths, and two different handhelds on there that looked completely different.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what I was I like, and I was looking for someone to explain to me what this. What this table was for.
And there was no one there. Yeah. It was weird.
I could have just taken everything that was on the table and just walked away with it completely scot-free. But I don't know what
That's not the PAX culture.
No, obviously not. I didn't. But, I mean, I don't know what these people were thinking.
But you did think about it.
Can we talk about my game of show?
Possible.
Game of show? You ready?
Is it Dropkick?
It's Dive Kick.
Dive Kick, my friend. God damn it, get it right.
God damn
it. Yo, seriously? Eat all the dicks. I wasn't there, man. Yo, how about the controller, though? I really...
The two-button controller?
Oh, God, I want one of those.
So, for those who don't know, Dive Kick is a two-button fighting game that started as a parody of fighting games and might be one of the better fighting games that gets released in the near future.
Yeah, no, it looks really interesting.
It's a 2D sprite fighter. There's like six or seven characters in it.
I thought there were two characters.
No, originally, there were two. There's like six or seven now.
Yeah.
But they're all parodies. There's a character whose name was Wolverine... Who is a life? Who's actually just a life-size anthropomorphic Wolverine?
Oh, yeah, cool.
And then they changed his name to Redacted because they were afraid they'd get sued.
So yeah. There's no. So talk about what it is. Like it.
There's no.
There's no left and right.
There's
up
no
and
D-pad
down.
At all.
There are two buttons. It's dive and kick, and then a little bit of misnomer, right? Because dive punch.
Well, dive and kick are the characters. The Ken and Ryu of the game are
okay.
Dive and kick.
But
there is a kick button and a jump button.
Yeah, and you know, basically, it's strategy, right? It's not.
It's there's some timing to it. There's some pregame stuff. They actually have a gem system, which is a complete
which adds percentages to dive and to kick and to certain other things.
Yeah,
so it's a send up of Tekken X Street
of Tekken X Street Fighter. Yeah, there's four gems in the game. There's blue, yellow, green, and each of them give you like a 10% bonus to a thing. And then there's double red.
Yeah, double red, yeah. yeah, there's something. There's a gem that adds to your life bar, which in this game, if you get dive kicked, you lose. There's no
like,
life.
Yeah, everything's one hit, one kill. The buttons, I mean, jumps as high as you hold it for until you, like, each. I think each character has a slightly different jump height and a slightly different kick angle.
And the kick angle is different.
And kick, like, literally just kicks you down at an angle, and the goal is to hit your opponent before they hit you. It's very zen.
There is a super bar. Certain characters have different things. Like, they get a little bit faster. Their kick is a little bit different. One of the characters is a female character named Kung Pao, who's a send-off of the
Kung Lao,
and she teleports with her super.
And then there's another character called Dr. Scholes. Spelt differently, but she's a send-up of Dr. Doom.
I think it's really interesting because they were kickstarting it, and then...
They pulled the Kickstarter.
Because they got Iron... What's the name of the... Iron Galaxy? Somebody jumped in and was like, okay, we're actually going to publish this.
Yeah.
So they canceled the Kickstarter. That's interesting. We're going to see that happen. I feel like there's going to be people going out of their way. I feel like people are going to start Kickstarters with that in mind. Like,
yeah.
Like, here's the interest I have, publisher, check this out.
Yeah, absolutely. It didn't have a huge booth, but it was always packed.
Yeah, there's always
And people
a
were playing. Daigo Umehara was there playing it for a period of time.
Was there a three-hour line at any point?
No.
For things at the con, yes.
Yeah.
Wait,
okay, let me ask you a question. What were big AAA games that were there?
League of Legends.
League of Legends was the biggest one.
By far.
When you walk in, it was the first... It's the biggest booth.
Well, I mean, as far as unreleased stuff. Like Diablo 3 for PS3, was that big?
Chris played that. I don't know how huge it was, but he said that like he liked it. The big ones that were there that like had the huge weights that we didn't wait for... Were Last of Us.
Last of Us.
Remember Me.
Ugh.
There was a viewing booth to see the trailer for Saints Row 4.
You had a viewing booth?
Watch
That's
Dogs.
That's offensive.
Watch Dogs
was there.
Was Watch Dogs playable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I think it was in a room,
It was one of those, the big room setups. They had a giant room in the center of the hall. I never saw a line that didn't wrap the booth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, remember Red Dead was there, the first pack?
Yeah.
And
yes.
That was, like, people were coming out of that and saying, like, nope, you need to pay attention to this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that game turned out
there were. I mean,
awesome.
There were some other large titles there. One of the bigger ones I saw that was, it didn't start as huge, but then it gained a crowd was a
new Supergiant game.
The Supergiant game, yeah. The Supergiant booth, you wouldn't necessarily think they had a new game there because all of their point of sale stuff and all their marketing material is still Bastion.
Can't believe it.
And they're still selling Bastion items, but they had the new game there.
I recently bought another copy of Bastion.
It's a great game.
Because like it was like a pay what you want and you got the soundtrack, right. And I didn't have the soundtrack before. So I was
give me the game. Please.
Yeah, yeah, no problem, Ed.
So I watched someone
Wait,
else
don't you
play
have it?
It? No, he's
nope.
never played it.
Oh.
I know.
You are in for a treat.
Anyway, so I watched someone else play it.
You'll
love it. The new game is it takes the Bastion narration system. The way It has the same atmosphere and the same mood as a Bastion. It's a little bit more futuristic. It's a little bit more cyberpunky. And the gameplay itself is comparable. It's still 3/4 down, but it's there's like a turn-based element to it. Like your character seems to be able to pause time and then plan out a series of moves and then like execute them.
Uh-huh.
But I guess you get some sort of sword weapon thing at the beginning of the game.
A sword weapon thing.
And that's the transistor, and that's the narrator. The sword is actually what's talking throughout the game.
It's very Elric.
Yeah, that's like what that's like Wife Arm in that remake of
Bionic Commando.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other game that we saw that I think really bears mentioning, and Ed, you had some time with this.
It took me the entire convention to find it. I was looking forward to Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Oh, are you really? Like, I have a serious problem with the character art. Like, I hate the stupid armor.
You're right. I don't like it either.
The Jim Lee style.
I don't like this tech.
He doesn't put the fucking armor on, though.
I don't like the teched out feel of it. I don't like it in 52 because it's that way in the comics, too. I don't like any of it. But when you're playing the game, you just ignore it. Like, you're actually enjoying it. Okay, so what's the name of the company? NetherRealm or whatever?
Yeah, NetherRealm. The company that did the massively successful Mortal Kombat 9.
Right.
Yeah, so this is like Mortal Kombat with all DC characters.
No, it's not. That's what I'm about to get to. They went out of their comfort zone, which is really cool. It feels like Mortal Kombat when the animation moves and you see the backgrounds. The backgrounds are unbelievably gorgeous, and the environments are you can interact with them.
Yeah, they're highly interactive.
But when you're playing the game, you're like, oh, this is familiar because it's Street Fighter.
No.
Yeah, all the controls are Street Fighter. Back to block. There's a couple buttons to do a certain thing. It's not Mortal Kombat controls anymore.
And not SNK pretzels either.
Yeah, it's not wackiness. It's all straightforward. And because of that, it is so easy to pick up, and it's so much fun.
Do you know this comes out in like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pre-ordering it. I wasn't going to. And then I played the demo, which literally was only on one screen when I got to it. There was not a long line, but like about 10 pairs deep. And it was always two people playing it. And we played one round, and it was pretty much over. It just went up.
You know, I feel like this is probably going to be one of those things I end up picking up like way later. Because I just picked up Mortal Kombat 9 recently.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, fighting games aren't really my thing, but I've heard the story mode's really cool in MK9, and I imagine they're going to do something cool with it in this one, where you're like hopping from character to character and fighting different fights.
They didn't have every character displayed in this demo, but most of them were, and a lot of them I got to see a lot of them play, and just it's so satisfying to get a cool move out with like or okay. So as I was mentioning the environments that you could interact with. I was watching a fight between Superman and Solomon Grundy, and Solomon Grundy pulls the guy's getting Superman to follow him, and he's backing up, and Solomon Grundy jumps above him, grabs like this pipe, and then pulls it down and freezes Superman, and then does like some ultra move to him. And everyone waiting in line was like, "Oh, that was dope."
That sounds rad.
It's really a lot of fun.
You know, the only other thing though is it is a DC title, so inevitably at the end of the game, it's going to end with Superman punching God.
No, it's going to end up with all of these problems could all these problems could have been solved with the Flash running around the world a few times.
Yeah.
speaking of DC, did they announce it there? The DC Universe MOBA. Have you guys seen this Infinite Crisis?
No. The Marvel MOBA was there, and actually, Chris
the Marvel one is a.
It's in beta right
now. No, it's an MMA. Or MMA. Yeah, it's a mixed martial art.
I thought it was more like a Diablo clone.
It's a massive multiplayer Diablo clone.
It's a massively multiplayer Diablo. What the fuck is a word for those RPGs that World of Warcraft? Why am I forgetting this fucking term?
Loot Fest.
No, like
RTS?
What the fuck are online video games? That people online RPGs
MMORPG?
MMO. It's an MMO.
It's a Morpig.
Yeah. Why the fuck was I blanking on that? And I said MMA. And how come it took us 2 minutes to get to this?
Because you were rambling.
And you were hearing your own voice and not other people.
You know what? I edit the show, so when...
So Chris did play that, and he said it was very good. Now
the Marvel one?
The Marvel one. That I did one not looks, see the DC one
That
anywhere.
One looks cool. The DC one, I'm like a little bit... I think I'd be a little more tapping on. I've never... The barrier for entry for these MOBA games, for these, you know, Dota-likes, seems really fucking high.
Well, the barrier for entry for Dota and League of Legends. Can we talk about League of Legends for
no,
a second?
No.
I have something to say about the Marvel game. I passed by the booth a few times. I looked at it. I was like, oh, it's exactly Ultimate Alliance, pretty much. So, and
I love those fucking games.
Fine, I understand, but we have those games.
No.
But then I looked at the booth.
We don't have a new one.
They were selling stuff. And I was looking at them like, oh, they're selling costume packs for like Wolverine and Spider-Man and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were like $70 for like some of them. I'm like...
That's how... It's going to be free to play, but then if you want like... You know, 1977 Wolverine, you're going to have to pay.
If you want to be able to punch,
I
it's
guess,
extra.
But
No, it's going to be, they've already said it's going to be cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, okay. It's going to be free to play. I'm for one, I'm really looking forward to it because fucking A, I like the MUAs, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and the X-Men Legends. It was X-Men Legends?
Something like that.
Those two games. Like, I really like those. They're not, you know, super technical, super smart, but it's characters I love, and you're crawling through these fun areas, and like playing those online was really rad. So I'm declaring now, we're gonna play this, guys. We gotta play this. It's gonna be so much fun to hang out online.
Four players, four controllers on this crazy TV that you got here. It's totally worth it.
Well, I think it'll be on PC, and we'll all be playing from home, right? Plus, I'm moving to Seattle, so
I want to be in the same room as you, though.
Yeah. How often do you come over?
Once a week. Those games were actually, I think they were a lot more fun when you were in the room with people.
Yeah.
By far.
But nope. I have to wear pants when you guys are here.
Why? I don't wear pants when we're podcasting.
I want to stop right there. League of Legends. Yes. I've never played this game. Have you played League of Legends?
No.
I played it for a minute.
I'm never going to play this game, and it's because of their presence at PAX. It is so tight.
No, you're never going to play this game because you were never going to play this game before. Like, you were never going to play this game.
Believe it or not, I actually like this kind of style of game. I loved Awesome Knots.
That's a little bit different, right?
It's still a MOBA.
League of Legends and Dota are so incredibly technical.
Like, that's the thing. I could never get into them because they're so, like, if you build your character even slightly wrong, it's more about how fast you can click shit than it is.
Fred, can I paint a picture?
It's like a high-end StarCraft playing, or it's high-end fighting game playing. Like, it's not...
I think fighting game is a little bit more...
All right, let me paint a little picture. So when you walk into the convention center at PAX, every...
Paint away!
There's an escalator that goes down to the hall, and typically there's like Nintendo or one of these other big companies that they're the first booth you see. They're the biggest booth and they're the loudest. Last year, Nintendo had the spot that League of Legends has now, and when you walk down the escalator, you see all these 3DSs and Wii's set up with all these different games and cool stuff being given out, and there's like a line waiting for people to get swag.
Consider it painted.
That was the setup of every year previous. This year, when you go down the escalator, you see this huge setup for League of Legends. It's like a big like clamshell, and there's different
kiosks, and then
the main center booth.
Yeah,
surrounding every employee that was working this booth was a horde of about 100 people just screaming for swag.
You could not push.
So you guys,
anywhere near
you guys understand? And like, we're not into this, but you understand how popular this game is.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
You understand that they regularly have 5 million concurrent players. There is not a single game ever, besides World of Warcraft at its height, that has pulled that off.
No, I know. They found fucking Maxwell Silverhammer or whatever, and they figured it out.
Wait, is that the Tubular Bells guy?
No, that's a Beatles reference. That's a heroin reference.
It's right that you say that, but what was the point of the booth when the only people that were standing there are the players that play the game?
As a matter of fact, they were giving out skins.
Because they're being good with their community.
Well, they were giving out skins for people. And in order to get the skins, you had to meet one of the Riot Games representatives. And,
in order
talk to
get the skins, you had to put a girl in your well and pass her down lotion.
So Ed went up to one of Ed went up to this woman who was working the booth and said, "You know, I'll get in line to get a code."
What line? No, it was just a mishmash.
Get into the mash of people.
There was no lines.
When they
get in the pit.
So when they
start dancing.
It really was like a mosh pit. And when Ed finally got up to it, the woman said, "Hi, what's your name?" Like, she was taking the time with every person, saying, you know, and Ed goes, "I'm Ed." And then she goes, what character do you play?
And are you DPS? Or she was asking, like, questions that only someone in-game could understand. I go, I'm just getting into it. "Oh, what class did you pick?" I'm like, "I'm just getting into it. I've never played it before." And she didn't know what to do with me. She didn't know what to ask me or to say anything. She just nodded and handed me a card.
I think it's not for us. It's not for you, so don't fucking worry about it.
I understand, but there was no one at the booth that me as a new player, which I have no interest in playing,
but they
weren't selling the game to new people.
But do they need to? Right now, no. I mean, they've got such an incredible base that it's like the new players come.
I feel that one person at the booth should have been there for new people.
That would be rad. I think from what I hear, they are rolling out some interesting things to make it approachable. Like they're rolling out. Is it them or Dota that's rolling out like a mentorship program?
Well, it wasn't at PAX.
It might be both.
Honestly, they're rolling out like a mentorship program. Also, like the way, and you know, the name of the company now, I'm like instantly forgetting, but the way they handle their community is really Riot Games. Yeah, they handle their community is really, I think, incredible.
No, they're very good at that.
No, because like they, first of all, you know, there is a competitive league and they contract the competitive players.
Right.
Like they're under contract directly with Riot. And when people step out of line and start, you know, being assholes on the internet, like, you know, like the fighting game community, like that.
I think they're the original assholes
on
the internet.
But they, you know, they will fly them to their headquarters and be like, "Hey, listen, you know, you need to cut this out. You need to represent our game positively in the public. Or, you know, we're going to ban your account." And they've done that. That's incredible. I think that company is really doing something pretty cool with their community.
I don't think we're disparaging them.
No. But despite not me having zero interest, I find the whole thing really intriguing. It's kind of like EVE Online. I find that incredibly intriguing.
Okay.
I have zero fucking interest ever touching
that. That's great. So, okay, so they ban, let's say, 10,000 people. They have no – based on PAX – what are you doing? Based on PAX, I don't see a plan for them to get new people.
Not from their convention presence. And I guess
but you really got to think, like, convention presence.
They should have had their own room. They shouldn't have been on the
convention
floor,
presence is cool and all, but like it's 80,000 people. They have 5 million concurrent users, which means they actually have 10 million people.
Besides
who play.
This, they had a cool thing at the booth. They had like two or three statues, which are extremely lifelike.
Yeah, they were really
the
creepy.
Level of detail on these statues was incredible, and also the swag that they were giving out was. I think every year they give it out. They give out skin codes. I think the whole big thing in this game is just different skins for things.
Thinking about skin jobs.
The skin. They were.
You gotta have dogs around. Sniff them out.
Skin flute. Anyway, but
ew.
I just wanted you to stop. So these cards had two codes, but the big difference between this year and every other year was they had a 5-day limit after the convention to use the codes.
Nice. They're keeping down that resale market.
Yes, they are. But it's an item
that
you can get openly for free.
What?
What's the point of keeping down the resale market?
Because it's a free item and you shouldn't be out there selling it on the internet, Ed.
So?
It should go to the fans that want to play it.
Okay.
You just sell it to them.
Yeah.
Keep it pure, man.
Not our fault that we're in it PAX.
Okay, you're saying that. So, but this entire community that you say that they're trying to help out, they're at this one convention. You can only get it there.
So what's the point of exclusivity, dude? I think it's good. I wish more people would do that. Like, I really think, like, fucking A, man. Like, I think about trying to buy concert tickets recently. Like, people who have no interest in fucking bands get the tickets in 10 seconds. I can't get my tickets, and I gotta fucking scalp them.
Well,
from
maybe
some
you
savage.
Should stop going to U2 concerts.
But the difference is anyone can buy those tickets because they were available online. Just some asshole bought them all. But these codes are only available at the convention. Now, some dude in Spain wants this code badly. And for some reason, won't be able to get it because
you're doing everybody a public service. Well, you fucking leech.
Whatever. He's not wrong, dude. I mean, there's some.
I disagree. I mean,
having the code does not exclude someone who wasn't at the con not getting it.
The thing is, the free market's great, but at the end of the day, it's up to them. Yeah. Again, free market. It's up to them if they want to.
It is in fact up to them on how
if they want to limit it.
Anyway, let's. I think let's, we should get off that topic.
Yeah, let's get off it.
You want to talk about some of the pals that happened?
No, what the fuck was that from the Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL? It's like, let's get off it. Like I got off your mother, Trebek. Nope, I'm going to take that out.
Yeah, crickets.
That's terrible.
Fuck, why did I click on Steam instead of GarageBand?
you want to play? Oh, wait.
Why don't we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Instead of playing music, I'm just gonna put fucking Ed's chuckle on loop. I'm taking over my body, back in control, no more shoddy. I bet a lot of me was lost, teasing, crossing eyes and dotted. I fought it a lot, and it seems a lot like flesh is all I got. Not anymore, flesh out the door, SWAT. I must have forgot, you can't trust me. I'm open to moment and close when you show up before you know it. I'm lost to see. And now that I write and think about it, and the story unfolds, you should take my life, you should take my soul. Do you guys remember when that episode of Power Rangers where they get the pachinko machine at the thing where everybody hangs out, but it turns out
the rec center or whatever it was?
Yeah, it's basically that episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation where Ashley Judd shows up, and then there's that game that everybody on the crew gets addicted to, and Wesley Crusher has to save the day.
Is it like the episode where Saved by the Bell where she gets addicted to caffeine pills?
No, but in the Power Rangers episode, the pachinko machine.
It turns into a pig monster.
It turns into a giant pachinko monster that the Zords have to. Yo, that shit was good. Welcome back to Fantastic Neighborhood.
We're continuing our PAX review for John, who was
get it over with. Oh my god, I'm so sick of it.
We should totally build a bridge
and get over it.
Yeah. So what else? Tell me, did you go to any panels?
We did go to some panels.
You didn't see Ken Levine, which breaks my fucking heart.
So here's the thing about panels. Let me preface this by saying a lot of the panels had the 2+ hour long wait line. The line formed 2 hours. Like, the line formed as soon as the other line dissipated for the panel that was in session.
I hate that.
I do too. We couldn't get into Giant Bomb this year because the line was
so long.
Well, yeah,
that was bad. That was that bad last year too.
Yeah.
Like, remember, I cut. That's how I met Harold and that Alex. Who did I meet from Irrational Passions? I don't know, whatever. I'm drinking again. Who know who? But like, I was like, I just went to the bathroom. That's my buddy. Hey, wait. See, like, no offense to them, but like, they were easy. They were like putty.
They were,
you know,
they
snooze
were, yeah.
You lose, man.
Yeah. I mean, I could have easily, like, pulled the long con on them and, like, you know, swindled them of their fucking, you know, GameCube collection or something.
So
I say GameCube because only fucking nerds own GameCubes.
Panels we went to. So the first one I went to was Get Hired in Video Games Marketing.
Ugh.
And that was hosted by Ed Davis of Droga5, Pete Hines of Bethesda, and Kara Scarf of Fearless Media.
Nobody knows who those people are.
I know who
people. Well, now you do.
Now
well,
you do.
Droga5.
Droga5.
Anyway, they're cool. They make cool stuff.
It was a good panel. It was a lot more informational than I thought it might be. Working in the industry, I realized, and so did Chris, about halfway through, like, we're not going to get anything out of this. We're already in the industry.
Yeah, I don't know why you went to that.
I thought it was curious to see what people were saying and doing. It did fall apart near the end a little bit when they did the Q&A.
Oh, God.
PAX Q&As are the worst.
They're still pretty bad.
You say that, but the first one that I went to was excellent. Right.
But some of the better things that came out of the meeting, though, one thing stuck in my mind. A woman went up on the QA line and asked the panelists, they said, you know, being a woman, I'd like to know, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was sort of like, you know, how do you get past the glass ceiling? How do you get people to respect you as a woman to get into the industry? You know, how are women treated in the industry? And the woman from Fearless Media, who I think is like a media supervisor or some fairly decently high-ranking person, and once again, I'm paraphrasing, said, listen, it has nothing to do with your gender. This industry is filled with women. It's based on your talent. It doesn't matter what gender you are, and if you keep thinking about what gender you are, it's going to hold you back. And I thought that was fairly enlightened.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that.
From media, though. She was talking from a media perspective?
Sure, sure. Yeah, definitely. If you still look at the top, like, you know, you're kind of in a rare spot to have a woman as the president of your company. Like, that's not incredibly common. But, you know, yeah, in media, yeah, sure. I'd still like to see more women in development and, you know, and creatives coming around, obviously. But still, like, I have met way more male creative directors than female.
Right. But ultimately, it's once again, without the inherent talent, you're never going to get anywhere in an industry, man
sure,
or woman.
Sure.
And I think that was the point, which, you know, it was refreshing to hear someone just be candid about it and say, like, listen, figure it out yourself. Make something yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the rest of the questions at the panel, by the way, were a lot of like, well, I'm a social media expert, and I'm looking at how to... I have a small blog network that I'm promoting.
I don't want
to
hear about this.
Yeah. Ed, what was your first panel?
Please don't tell me about people you know I'll dislike.
That's why I tell you.
I went to a Getting Started in Tabletop Gaming, a panel about that. There was about... I don't remember the names of everyone, but Adam Poots was there. And he was the one, he made, I believe, the most successful tabletop Kickstarter thus far, Kingdom Death. Made over $2 million.
Has that beat Zombicide and all that?
I believe so. Zombicide made around $1 million.
Okay.
Pretty much doubled their any previous tabletop game. And
and he's Brooklyn.
And he's a New Yorker.
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn represent. So it was everything that they said, that it was perfectly spaced out time-wise. Everyone gave their really relevant input. Then at a certain point, it went to Q&A, and every single question was relevant to the situation. Nobody was one guy mentioned that he had a company, but again, even he was just starting out and wanted information. They mentioned, you know, just starting out either with a small 500 piece run for a game, so that one you can make produce in America. And Kickstarter can get that started,
yeah.
Or a huge game that you want to sell to a company like Cool Mini or not, or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, wait, yeah, look at Cards Against Humanity. Like,
yeah.
It's incredible the sort of traction they've caught. Man, that sort of mention of, like, self-promotion reminds me that I supported that Retronauts Kickstarter. So at $300, you get to go on and co-host, and those... gone instantly.
Yeah.
I easily would have paid that. But so the $150 reward tier, you get to choose the category for an entire episode or the topic. So I'm like, you know, I'm racking my brain. Like, I'm like, guys, we got, you know, I'm like,
the topic is how do we promote Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast?
Basically, I'm like, can I get a plug? I'm going to be like, here, the topic is Sega Saturn. Give me a plug.
Are you
plug
the podcast on your podcast?
I mean, well, I'm not going to get to go on.
This is way too meta. The universe is collapsing on itself. It's like the fact that Doritos just released the Doritos Locos flavored Doritos.
Yeah. Oh, man. This reminds me of another thing while I wasn't at PAX. So you know, I was running 18-hour days of the Army, like, just fucking dreary from sleep and just stressed the fuck out. So I, I stayed at my friend's place.
That's kind of how we felt at PAX, though.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you, right? Fuck
all
you.
That steak and gaming.
Fuck you and your stupid face. So you know, I was, you know, we were doing it in this armory, and then I was staying at my buddy's place about 20 minutes from there, so I wasn't driving back to Jersey or back to Brooklyn every night.
You weren't staying on the barracks?
No. You understand, like, I'm in a leadership position, right?
Do
like,
other
I'm not
people
sleeping
have
on
to
God
stay in the barracks, or do they have the option of
this
leaving?
This was a leadership exercise. Okay. Like, we were doing mission analysis and mission mission briefing and stuff like that, rather than I wasn't running
Who
around
are
an
obstacle
course. I'm a staff officer at this point. So
scary.
Yeah. So I'm, like, driving down. I'm like, fuck, man. I want cigarettes. So, and I would have smoked if I went to PAX. Obviously, I would have gone through, like, 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes. But I'm like, ugh.
I have no...
Keo smokes.
I have no connection to that.
Yeah, so I was like, man, so I was getting ready to pull over this gas station, but right next to it was a Taco Bell. So instead I pulled into the Taco Bell
and
got...
bought cigarettes there.
No, I got 5 Doritos Locos Tacos.
Oh,
and a 32-ounce Mountain Dew Baja Blast. I got back to my buddy's house. He was out because it was Saturday night. I ate all of those, drank a 32-ounce Mountain Dew, and was asleep 30 seconds after that.
And like, then woke up in a puddle of shit and blood.
Yeah, no, it was fine. I did eat my fiber supplement, too. So
I woke up in a fibery pile of shit and blood. That is the grossest we've ever been on this podcast.
We had filet mignon.
You leave that in. Yeah. We went to Smith & Wolensky's.
So, all right, tell me about like 2 more panels that were awesome.
I'll skip the magic one because you don't give a shit about that.
It's not that I don't care.
It's not. It's the same as it was.
It was boring anyway.
So I went to the punk rock business panel hosted by Jason Anarchy. Jason Anarchy is the creator of a somewhat successful line of prepackaged party card games called Drinking Quest. It's a drinking RPG.
I believe they're on their 3rd one.
Yeah, it's a drinking game RPG. And he was talking a little bit basically about not only the history of how he, like, sort of created his own game, but how much money you're going to have to spend and the business details of what you'll have to do to actually make a game. It was pretty interesting how he covered off on it.
It was very realistic.
He explained the real world way to
start a game.
And then the funnier part.
Look at how nice my wife is, not making any noise at
all.
Hi,
wife.
I love you. You're great. Why don't you have a glass of wine? Come join us.
but the best part of his panel was the fact that his co-host was Scumbag Steve.
Oh, I love
the
it.
The actual Scumbag Steve from the internet. And the joke
internet's
was,
own.
The joke was that he didn't contribute to the panel at all, right? He just sat there and then interrupted and did rude things while he was saying.
The really funny thing is, like, Scumbag Steve is actually, like, a really nice guy.
Yeah, his name is Blake Boston.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, isn't Boston, that's his pseudonym, right? Cause, like,
something like that, yeah.
No, but he seems like a really nice guy. Like, I follow him on Twitter. He, like, seems like a real progressive dude.
Yeah. He wasn't at the panel.
He sounds like a smoker, that's for sure.
Yeah.
he's from Massachusetts, right?
Yes, I think so. I mean, with that accent.
Worcester.
Worcester.
Worcester, Mass.
Worcester, Mass.
He was like, he had a bit part in that only good movie that ever came out of Boston. Wait, I take that back.
Slow down.
The Departed, The Town, and Good Will Hunting, yeah. Man, how about a supercut of Good Will Hunting where, like, all the Robin Williams stuff is removed and all the Ben Affleck scenes are
doubled.
And all the Ben Affleck scenes, you replace me with replace Matt Damon with me, so it's just me and Ben Affleck hanging out and, like, just bro.
Are you saying this just to piss off your wife who's in the kitchen?
Why would you piss him off? Like, she knows I want to be best friends with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, best friends.
Dude, there's nothing sexual about it. It's not like me and Vin Diesel.
So anyway,
I have to rewrite my fanfic then.
The last panel we went to was a panel about copyright law, let me do this one.
Yeah.
Which interests me because it's something that's relevant to our industry and it's something I've encountered.
Yeah,
in the past.
Just a little addendum. Fred has to do this one because I slept through the entire thing.
Ed passed out, front row passed out with his glasses on though.
Thank God.
It was hosted by two lawyers, one of whom dressed like Harvey Birdman, and the other who dressed like Phoenix Wright.
Phoenix Wright.
Oh, that's funny.
Which was cute. But they were two real-life lawyers, and the conversation was law.
Yeah, like, I don't know why you...
There were two other hosts, two other
one,
people
one of the guys
the
from Harmonix, and I forget who the fourth one was.
Just another person who just works in the industry, but...
Right.
A liaison between the...
Now, I thought they were going to talk about, like, you know, patent trolls and how... What we can do about it and how, like, you know, the famous case with Notch and the patent troll who he's fighting. But they didn't. They sort of just talked about the legalities of patent law and patent law reform. And they were
you're making way too much noise.
I know. And there were a lot of... There were a lot of, like,
I just got the fucking worst look.
Oh my God. You are the worst look.
Katie, I love you.
So there were a lot of pre-law students in this panel, and, like, all the Q&A of it was, like, law questions. It was way over.
Oh, wow, that's weird that at a panel covering law, they would talk about the law.
Right, but yeah, we thought it would be more gaming-related, just connected directly to gaming, but it was really just
about patent law.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, for someone in the industry, it was probably a fine panel, but for us, it wasn't great.
The big thing was they went to Q&A, like, 15 minutes in.
Yeah, they basically just opened the floor to question throughout the whole thing.
Like, for 15 minutes, they were talking about what they were there for, and then for 45 minutes, it's just people talking about their business. One guy literally said, oh, I have a very successful gaming company that makes X amount of dollars a year, and then he just started talking about his company.
Yeah, no, that's what happens.
Yeah.
But this was the worst case of it that I've ever
lacked,
seen.
It lacked structure, basically. And those were the panels that we attended. Chris went to a couple different ones too, but all right. So I think we talked about the good, we talked about the bad. Let's talk about the PAX.
Listen, man, I don't want to go too negative. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 entries here. Give me the top three.
Well, first of all,
things.
Before we get into this, I'd like to mention one thing. Paper Mario.
Yeah! Woo!
Yeah, I know
that's the thing that I
did.
That's
what I do,
yeah.
I have a save.
We did that joke last week.
I know, but it's still funny and it's still prominent. I'm just getting that out of the way. you wanted to talk about line culture.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. It's still prominent. Inherently I kind of understand Street Pass now.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I love Street Pass.
And by the way, this con, if you don't think Nintendo's
I really wish I gave you my 3DS.
I wouldn't have had any time for it.
No, just to walk around with it.
But you can only collect 10.
No, you can.
No, what? You can collect.
You could only collect 10 at a time. I didn't know that
either.
And
you have to use them, and then you get another 10.
Ugh.
Fuck Nintendo's UI on that.
And
thing.
You had to use the 10 in Puzzle Swap and the other
and
thing.
And find me before you
can get the other 10.
That bothers me.
That was the worst.
But I understand why people are always on their DS now, or 3DS. People will show up to a panel upwards of 2 hours early to wait in line.
Yeah.
And Ed, you said something interesting at the con. If the enforcers were really doing their jobs in the first place, like they get very militant near the end about you have to be in this line, get in the spot, blah, 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 blah. But if they were really doing their job in the first place, it wouldn't get to that
point. If they bothered to organize the lines ahead of time, the lines wouldn't be so bad when it came time to move people into the rooms.
You know, I was brainstorming this with...
and there were like no queue rooms.
And her name escapes me. I was brainstorming this with somebody on Twitter. We went back and forth like 10 times talking about possible solutions to the way lines work and like possibly like an RSVP system.
I said that
we
too.
Said that last year.
Like, yeah. You know, if you set up this RSVP system where you get a certain amount of
each person gets 5 events or something.
Yeah, you get like you get 5 or 6 panels you get to check in for. If you no show a panel, you lose the rest of your fucking things or whatever. You know, there's got to be consequences. The infrastructure of checking in when you get there is complicated, obviously. But, like, I've been to European ski resorts where you have a fucking something with a RFID in it and the gate opens for you every time.
Well, we go to Gen Con every year and they don't have any problems with their events.
We use the subway daily and it seems to work fine.
I think it's honestly just the people running the con. It's the enforcers.
I think they really need to step up the professionalism right there. I understand, like, using the enforcers keeps costs down, but, Like, and granted, the vast majority of enforcers are fine folks. The guys with the red fucking berets can...
The military garb. Yeah. And, yeah.
No, no, because, like, I'm like, you know, because somebody was telling me, like, yeah, those guys tend to be, like, either law enforcement or former military, and I'm like...
They're not leaders.
Like, I just... It infuriated me, but...
Yeah, there's no one running them.
I wasn't even there, and I'm like getting mad.
Yeah, the enforcers, they're enforcing, but with no, there's no modus op. What's the term for it? I mean,
they don't have any authority.
There's no one telling them how to enforce. They're just enforcing
the Pax Romana, the gravitas. I don't know. Are you looking for something in Latin? The Pax. Yeah.
The Pax Stapo.
Yeah. Anyway,
they're e pluribus unum.
All right. So what else? You get one more.
I get only one more.
Wow.
I think we have to talk about those who fight.
No, come on. Let's talk about Behemoth and Twisted Pixel.
Okay, I'm going to lump Sony into that, too. Booth disappointments.
Yo, Sony never said they were going to be there.
Sony
Blizzard said they would have it there. But I'm guessing they brought the PS3 version and not the PS4 version.
So year four of Sony not being there. No Ouya, which wasn't announced. That's a little disappointed.
That's shocking. How is Microsoft? Did they have Red Dragon playable again?
They had Halo 4 and Gears Judgment.
So the games that were out?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
So Behemoth and Twisted Pixel.
Is it just me or are they kind of like...
Half-assing it?
I feel like, you know, Sony's out there locking down with like being super indie friendly. And I don't know. It seems like Microsoft's not. I might be a little bitter for personal reasons.
Time will tell.
Okay.
Anyway, the Behemoth and Twisted Pixel were there. They've been there every year of PAX so far. They had the same exact booths that they've had for the last 4 years.
Even the layout was identical.
So Behemoth had the Castle Crasher arcades.
Yeah, they had a bunch of different arcades.
But their game is finally coming out soon, right?
Next month.
Cool.
But it's been 4 years, and they still have... It's the same exact booth. So, like, I'm a little disappointed that they're not doing anything new or didn't show anything or give away anything. Nothing. It's the same old, same old. It was boring. Likewise, Twisted Pixel, another company that I like plenty, their playable game was The Maw.
Ugh.
And they had, like, one TV set up where, like, little kids could play it on a beanbag chair.
Was that the same as last year?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, they really just ignore them. Both those booths.
I'm a little disappointed with them. They need to step up their game. But yeah, those were the big disappointment. I mean, the biggest disappointment that we didn't really talk about. But you don't want me to talk about Those Who Fight, so.
No, talk about Those Who Fight. I don't even know what it is.
It's one of the bands that they had at the concerts this year.
Oh God.
Oh, I thought we put a moratorium on the concerts.
We did, but we wound up going to. I'll be honest. We went to them this year because Chris had never gone.
You know what? Like, I mean,
Paul and Storm were funny this year.
God bless you guys, but I think things really fall apart without me.
I did not want to go. I absolutely did not want to go. I would have rather gone to the room and keep my feet up and
there
drink.
There were so many after parties,
and they all had lines to get in that we couldn't access.
No, like the bars downtown.
Whatever.
You guys fucking
We were steak
suck.
Drunk.
You fucking
We just got back from
we
Smith & Wolensky's.
You fucking losers.
We came out of Smith & Wolensky's, and we're like, oh, whatever, let's go back to the con. I wanted to go to the arcade room. We went to the arcade room.
Oh, how was the retro arcade?
It was awesome.
It was pretty much the same as last year.
How about the retro console room?
Not as great.
I didn't touch that. But we went to the retro arcade, and we played some games. It was fun. And we went to we just missed Joko.
Yeah, we walked up and Joko was finishing his set.
But we just missed Joko because we didn't realize that he wasn't headlining anymore. It was
the headliner was Paul and Storm.
Which is kind of funny because Joko is super famous.
Yeah, but I think they just wanted to.
They don't really. Up. Yeah, I mean that was. I think it was the same thing last year.
And also Joko, I don't think had anything big to promote while Paul and Storm did.
Jonathan, you know, maybe he didn't want to promote the show he co-hosts on NPR. Ask me another. No, he does. He has stuff, but I'm sure they just
right,
like to change
has
it up.
This is the fourth year. They've been there for 4 years. They went, okay, it's your turn.
Yeah, we complained about the concerts last year.
But they were good this year, I thought. I mean, it's the same old, but like I think we needed that year off from them.
I have a revelation about it. I started hating the concert since, you know, probably 2 years ago. Last year I went and whatever. And there was always something nagging, like something, like my body hates this for some reason. I figured it out this year. It's the lighting. Every time, all these acts go to the crowd for something, and every time they do, the light, these laser lights blind us every single fucking time. And this year, it finally hit
not,
me. That
yeah,
it's what's
a,
happening.
Like, it's not a rock show atmosphere. It's not like you're being pushed around and you're like, you don't know where to look, and it's all just loud and confusion.
So
it's
Paul
like,
and Storm go to the crowd all the time, and the lighting, the light turns on the crowd. So we're in this pitch black room, and then suddenly lights are just in our eyeballs, and it physically hurts. Like every time it happened, I just had to look down. I'm like, that's. I finally figured out why I hate the concerts here. They just goddamn turn off the lights.
So Paul and Storm were good. Video Game Orchestra was good if you like Video Game Orchestra, I guess. There was a new band called Those Who Fight, which was...
I wish I saw it now.
It was the worst thing I've ever seen at PAX.
That's why I wanted to see it.
I'm not being hyperbolic. It was terrible. It was a Final Fantasy-themed rock opera, but it wasn't Final Fantasy. It was their, like, Dungeons & Dragons setting that they called Final Fantasy, kind of.
All right, I can't deal with all this negativity. We have to talk about the two things I've been holding in my back pocket.
All right, hold in your back pocket. Take them out of your back pocket, John.
Capcom announcements.
Dude, tell.
The two awesome Dungeons & Dragons arcade games are coming to XBLA.
Yeah, yes. It was there.
Yeah.
They were there.
How fucking awesome is that?
It looked
cool, too. They look good.
Oh, man. I love those fucking games. Oh, they are so much fun.
We didn't talk about the big game. The biggest, other big game.
Oh, you're talking about Duck Hunt? What? Fuck, no. I just said Duck Hunt instead of DuckTales.
You may actually have to kill yourself.
Oh, are you talking?
God. All that momentum just
are
gone.
You talking about DuckTales?
Yes.
Woo.
No, I was talking about Duck Hunt, but...
Hey, guys. Hold on a second. Stop giggling, bitch. Hey, you guys talking about DuckTales? Remastered?
Oh, wow.
Don't worry, it'll stay in the spoilers. Oh, God, it smells like cat shit in here now.
That's from you. That was in your back pocket.
Yeah, dude, it was pretty rad. So, some features that they spotlighted in the game. What we learned is that...
Way Forward. Makers of Aliens Infestation.
Yes. There was also a group there who had a game called...
It smells like cat shit in here.
I don't smell it. There was a group there had a game called Shovel Knight, by the way, which is...
I've heard of this.
Which was a group of guys who broke off from Way Forward because they wanted to do their own IP and not...
Take contract work stuff.
Yeah. But let's talk about DuckTales.
Way Forward makes good-ass games, man.
Yeah.
DuckTales is gorgeous.
We liked Aliens Infestation. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So DuckTales is totally true to form. It takes all the notes from the original DuckTales game.
Yeah. It's stunningly beautiful. Everything's reanimated. And
yeah.
Just
it's all
gorgeously. HD. Music was remastered with like
there's a sing-along in the opening parts of the game.
I saw that in the trailer. I'm like a little bit worried about this game though because I'm like, man, what if it's not...
Well, what they said was that the game itself is only about 30% the original game and about 70% new content.
What I really hope they include is... So, you know there was a sequel to Duck Hunt, but it came out towards the end of the NES?
Really?
You did it again.
Fuck, did I say Duck Hunt again?
You said Duck Hunt again.
So, there was a sequel to DuckTales that came out towards the end of the NES lifespan and didn't sell a lot of copies and was very, very good. It didn't have, like, the amazing moon theme. You guys remember the song for the moon level?
Yeah.
It's really good. I was a big fan, despite saying
that. Everyone was a big fan at the time. But,
fuck you.
That was one of those rare gem of a licensed game that came out.
No,
back
in licensed
the
games used to be good. Like, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is real good,
well,
too.
Not always.
Like, the Disney licensed game.
Aladdin
Castle
was good.
I remember the 7-Up game being okay. Castle of Illusion's fantastic.
I never liked Castle of Illusion. It was a great game.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember Cool Spot?
Does anybody remember that time me and Ed cut Fred for fucking saying Castle of Illusion wasn't good? Like, do you remember? Do you guys remember that?
I actually
that
stabbed
time?
Him in the
yeah,
shoulder.
Yeah, stab him in the fucking eye.
All right, fine. It was good.
It was a good game. Lion King was good.
Licensed games for the most part were bad, but for a long time, the Disney ones were real good.
Yeah. Anyone who had money. Really, like to throw it behind the property.
But you know, it's
I really love The Simpsons, a couple of The Simpsons ones. Well, in full knowledge that they're horrible.
The
they're not great.
But still, the Konami arcade one was totally
great. Yeah, yeah. That's,
not,
I
the,
played,
not the Krusty's Mansion thing.
No.
I played the C64 version. They one of the few home adaptations of The Simpsons game. It was a bootleg C64 version that I also bootlegged and played on a school computer.
Like a few more. But yeah, the DuckTales game, it's being done by the same team that did Double Dragon.
Wait, that was Way Forward too?
I don't remember. I heard it was the same people.
How stupid looking is that cat?
Whatever.
For all our people watching the video
that
feed.
Played it, literally everyone that played it said it was absolutely gorgeous.
That game was hard as fuck too. Oh man, I don't think
it's going to be that hard anymore. Like I think
Way Forward does not make hard games.
Video games have also just in general tuned out. Like there'll be save points. There weren't save points back in the day.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe they'll keep it hardcore. Maybe they'll do like a Mega Man 9, Mega Man 10 thing with it.
You mentioned Dungeons & Dragons. It was right next to the DuckTales booth. And it was really cool to see that it looked like an arcade playing the game.
That's awesome.
Like it was literally like an arcade cabinet with a screen, like a rounded screen.
Dude, I fucking love those games.
Like, it was awesome.
The thing is, you know, part of the thing about that was great about those Dungeons & Dragons arcade games was like the arcade of it. Like, you know,
yeah. And you're
quarters.
Totally going to get that feel on the TV.
Hopefully, no. But, like, there's, you know...
You have to play it while standing.
A lot of the times when these games come home, like, I really love playing through X-Men, you know, when they released on XBLA. And,
yeah.
You know, really like playing through Turtles.
Yeah, Turtles in Time. Mm-hmm.
Turtles arcade game.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Like, fucking, you know, I really liked playing those, but, like, when you take the arcade out of it, there's something... When I don't have pizza grease on my hands or whatever, playing it at like some shitty pizzeria.
Or like level 5 viral antibiotic resistant bacteria from touching the controllers.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I still fucking am nostalgic as fuck and will love to play these games.
I think these are going to be good ones. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Capcom's got its shit together. That booth was always busy with people waiting to play those games.
Yeah.
I mean, I desperately was trying to get on the... I wanted to play Remember Me, but the line was just
also,
too
I didn't
long.
See it, but they had a very retro-style DuckTales poster that they were giving away to people who got to play the demo. And it was very strict. Like, no one else can get it.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone said it was a cool poster.
Yeah, it was like the Red Dead stuff they were giving away that year. So, Fred.
John.
Sounds like PAX was awesome.
It was awesome, John.
Super bummed.
You know what, John? There's always next year, and there's always PAX Prime.
I'm going to Prime. Are you coming to Prime?
I don't know.
If you have a place to crash, would you come to Prime?
I might.
Ed?
Maybe.
Ed doesn't go in airplanes.
Ed goes in airplanes
I go in airplanes every year.
Ed's going home in an airplane.
No. He's like John Madden. He has to still have to
into
drive
an airplane.
There. And eat a turducken on the way.
Oh, so delicious.
So I guess we'll come right back. And do we want to do Game Club or do we want to push it one more week?
No, I think we should get it out of the way.
Okay.
Sillonne l'espace, l'attraction terrestre. Et vaincu, Majordome alors se pose des questions, toutes ses expériences dans le fond.
Well, Ed, this next section isn't really for you anyway. That's so true. We're having Game Club now. We're going to talk about Cart Life. I think this might be a short one.
Yeah, because honestly, like, I've been super busy, didn't get to play as much as I would have liked to.
So here's the thing. I sort of categorize this as what is Cart Life?
Cart Life is a retail simulator,
and what it really is difficult, depressing, and monotonous.
Just like
real life.
Yeah, just like real life.
It's it really is a simulator.
Like, it's a simulator of people who are, you know, in not necessarily
downtrodden people,
great situations. You know,
yeah.
I found it. First of all, Game Club is where we both play a game and then we talk about it at length or not at length and
spoil it where applicable.
Yeah. I don't know if this is really spoilers because I only got about 2 hours in.
Yeah, same.
Because I – not because it was difficult, but because I was – simply I just haven't had any time this week. But which character did you choose?
I chose the single mother.
Fuck, I chose the single mother too.
We should have coordinated that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well.
God, like, so here's the thing. I didn't find them frustrating because I knew they were intentional. But like, it's day three, and I don't have anything yet. You know?
Yeah. My biggest problem was finding out where to even go. There's the opposite of tutorial. Shit, yeah, just is like absolutely really hidden.
But it's also like, and then, you know, I don't get to make the choice, but I have to get my daughter, I have to take her to school every day and then pick her up every day.
Right.
And I'm like, so you have to work within this time frame, and time's going by, and I'm like, and then.
And you can't even stop. Like, if you stop to look at your watch, time is still ticking away.
Yeah, and I bought the cart, and then I'm like $400 in the hole, so I went and sold my watch and my wedding ring. Like, I say my, her. I don't, and like, so. I didn't get super deep, but I do know what they're trying to say, and I think it's really interesting, and I actually really, I liked what I played of it so far. I liked the feeling I was getting of, like, not, the feeling of, you know, helplessness.
But I think here's the thing, I think there is a perfect path through the game. Like, I think you can actually do well at the game, but it's just so incredibly difficult to do it. Like, my question is, like, what this game is trying to do is actually pretty ambitious. It's trying to show you the what a downtrodden person's life is like. But it,
or like how many, I don't know if downtrodden's the right word. Like how many
things
regular,
can go wrong.
How a regular ass life is like.
Yeah, but it's so very difficult and it's so depressing. I feel like they're probably going to lose a lot of their audience from it.
No, I don't, because no? I think the way they did it is actually perfect, because it needs to be that difficult to get their message across. Like, you're gonna,
there's a weird balance.
But you're gonna get to the next, so here's the thing, is no matter how much you fuck up, you're gonna get to the next day.
Right.
Much like real life, unless you, you know, I noticed there's a place on the map, the bridge, you could go to. I don't know what the fuck happens there. But like, much like real life, like, you're going to be able to, you're gonna wake up. No matter how bad things get, like, you're gonna wake up. Things might be shitty for you the next day, but it's going to get there. So even if you don't hit your targets, bad things are going to happen. You're going to lose custody of your kid. The cat's going to get kicked out of the apartment. It's going to keep going. I don't understand. I think I'm going to eventually finish this to see what the end state is like.
So I bought this game on Steam. I actually have three characters at my disposal, and I think there's a slew more that you can get. And each one of them has a different story.
I thought it was only three. It's two if you get the free version, and the third one.
It might only be three then, but like, I feel like it's also something that could add characters relatively easy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that they will. It's definitely an interesting and different game than what we've played in the past. I would warn anyone who hasn't played this game yet. Like, it really is tough, and it really is like an investment of time.
I don't think that there needs to be a warning attached to this game. I think if you like the kind of games that we normally play during Game Club, I think this is right up your alley. It's $5 on Steam. I really think
it's like $3.50.
Is it still on sale?
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely worth. I think it's worth playing if you're into this.
It's very much divergent from like Hotline Miami or any of those games we've been playing recently, but. And it is.
I was thinking
truly,
about getting a Hotline Miami tattoo. What do you think?
It was truly, truly unique, and you know, it's definitely competent in what it's trying to do.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it wasn't super fun, but it was getting a reaction out of me.
Some time set aside to actually play this. I feel like it's a bit of a. You want to do it in large chunks.
It's not like our last couple ones where it's 20 minutes. I think you're going to have to spend 2-3 hours on this one.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, Fred, fucking let's do this live on the air, man. What are we playing next week?
I have no fucking idea.
No, it's up to you. It's your choice.
Is it my choice? Fuck, I didn't really.
We'll be right back, and we'll have our game. We'll have the outro and our Game Club game next week.
Driving some of the hottest cars New Yorkers ever seen. For dropping some of the hottest verses rappers ever heard. From the dope spot with the smoke block, clinging the murder scene. You know me well from nightmares of a lonely cell. My only hell was since when y'all niggas know me to fail. Fuck nah, we all my niggas with the rubber grips. Or shots. And if you with me, mama, rubbing your tits. And whatnot.
Are you still recording?
Yeah, we can start over.
Are you just poised and waiting for me to start talking so you can cut me off?
No. Here, we're gonna start the whole outro over. Hey, so if you want to hear
this is good stuff.
If you want to hear the real outro, stay tuned after the dubstep.
Oh, God, shut up.
Fuck you. Oh, no. My God. Fuck you. Katie, bring me a knife.
Stab him with this 1,000 times and not do any damage.
I can block that knife with butter.
Fred, what's a game club? I'm not kidding.
Okay. So game club next week is Miasmata.
Miasmata. Yeah, more or less.
Is there a pronunciation guide?
Miasmata. It's a Miasmata. It's on Steam. Right, if you catch it right when you're listening to this episode, it should be on sale for $7.50. I think it's on. You can buy it through their website for $15. But yeah, it's a first person survival game. We will be beating it. Which,
crossing my fingers.
Yeah, you gotta. Homework.
That's my homework. I'll bring my laptop with me for Easter.
Yeah, it should probably run on that. I don't know.
Cool. And then, you know, if you want to contact us on the show, if you'd like to send us some of your fond PAX memories or anything along those lines, just say hi or have us read your manifesto on air. You can reach us in a number of ways. You can email us at letters@fantasticneighborhood, or you can call a hotline at 720-HOODIE-6.
Man, we haven't made a strong push on the hotline in a while.
You should call the hotline. Just leave us anything. I don't care. Telemarketers, go.
Man, it sounds pathetic. We're begging.
We're not begging. Just fucking, what do I care?
Every radio show and blog and podcast does that too.
Yeah, you should check out Fred on the internet at ProtoAddict. He yells about things.
I do. And you can check out John. He posts weird industry things that no one cares about at Hey John Anderson.
Somebody cares.
You can check out the show on Twitter at Fantastic Hood. You can also check us out on fantasticneighborhood.com. You can check us out on facebook.com/fantasticneighborhood. Or you can find and hopefully rate us in iTunes.
And you can find Ed at his metal shop in Kensington. Do you guys have a website?
You won't find... No, I don't. We don't even have a sign in front of our metal shop. You won't be able to find me because I'll be behind the screen playing Bioshock.
Yeah.
Until my eyes are bleeding.
Yeah, get that. Yeah, and you know, look, me and Ed might do something in the near future after we both beat the game and leave Fred out of it. Maybe we'll like each other a little more if Fred's not around.
I don't
see. I like you. Though. You're the one that doesn't like me.
I like you too.
Actually, you guys want to touch and hold hands?
I'm so glad we're staying so far apart.
We'll be sword fighting here.
Anyway, Ed, thanks for coming on. We had some fun, and it was great to get the PAX perspective.
I kind of had to because I had all your gear at my time.
It's also great to get our gear back.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. How do we usually end this?
We usually end it by you.
I'm going to start saying words, and then you're going to cut me off.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that...
is like a something here in Duckburg.
It has subtitles. Okay, I got an idea. I got
by
an
coughing
idea.
Into the mic.
Here's what I was thinking. Like, what's changed since we did our last post-PAX episode? First of all, I just said post-PAX, and it didn't pop like crazy because of these awesome pantyhose we have on the mics.
Yes.
I think the most important change is probably that we're not drinking out of coffee mugs and that we're drinking out of proper glasses.
That's true. We're also not recording at 3 in the morning in the hotel room.
That was so much fun.
Well, for some of us, that was a lot of fun.
I
me?
Don't remember.
For me and me?
For you and Chris, I think.
God. Take off your granny panties.
It was definitely the most fun for Anderson because I was in my underwear sitting next to him.
And it was no fun for Anderson because he was sitting next to you, sitting next to him in your underwear.
He loved it.
All right, I guess we start. Welcome to episode 58 of the Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Why isn't it still PAX?
I didn't go to PAX. PAX didn't happen. I'm going to go to PAX Prime. What are we, Fred?
We are a video game entertainment and culture podcast, and sometimes funny.
Yeah, and I'm John, and that was Fred, and here's Ed.
Hi, Ed.
I'm being awkward, and I haven't even drank yet.
Well, start drinking.
Okay.
You gotta loosen up the muscles.
That would be the status quo.
This episode is brought to you by Four Roses Small Batch. It's delicious.
You couldn't have said that hotter, John, by the way.
John tends to make things hot when he does anything.
God, we are really sucking so far. Let's start over.
You said that hotter, too.
Ugh. Guys, if you haven't, go to FatalFrame.com.
Wait, Fatal Frame?
Fuck, no. Fatal Frame's a fucking video
Japanese
game.
Video game with a camera and ghosts.
Shit, what were we looking at?
You suck today.
Fatal Farm. FatalFarm.com. Flashlight from, 2009.
Hey,
with
guys,
a bunch
go to DuckHunt.com.
Hey, go to... Go leave, Ed. Just go home.
He's mama. All right.
It's time to go.
Is it? Are we recording? Am I on a
it's
podcast?
Time.
No, we're not. This is over. I'm calling it quits.
Like forever?
Yeah, I'm quitting the show, Fred.
Okay.
I thought you meant life. He's going to go on that final Duck Hunt.
That's funny. Too bad it wasn't into the microphone.
I don't care. It was for me and Fred.
The right. Sun will come up tomorrow. Bet your bottom.
That's not. That, nope. That's not. Nope.
It's
okay.
Jay-Z lyrics in between.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a hard knock life for us.
What's up?
When was the last time you listened to rap music?
1981.
Apparently not. All right. So that's the show.
That is the show.
Next week we'll talk about stuff we actually were playing and playing and playing, like BioShock and Gears and stuff like that. But we had to get PAX out of the way.
And now we just have a scant 364 days until the next one.
I don't think that works like that. But sometime in the future there will be another PAX.
Death is hard.
Yeah. So John, Game Club.
Game Club next week will be Miasmata. It's MIAS. MATA, currently on sale on Steam for a couple more hours if you're listening to this when it first drops, but still probably worth it at $15. You can get it from the developers at their website. It's a first-person survival game. I've heard really interesting things about it. Make sure – this is one of those things where I think we have to make sure we finish this.
Yeah.
So while you're not celebrating Easter on Sunday – Set a few hours and
I don't really celebrate Easter so much as I eat food on Easter.
Yeah, well, samesies.
And I'm a Jew.
Yeah, you are.
Why aren't you at Seder?
He's a bad Jew.
I was at. On
a couple You're of a
listen.
Good Jew.
He's busy controlling all the world's banking
media.
And media.
Sure, I am. Yeah, for my metal shop.
Yeah. man, Passover is a fun holiday, right? Like you're celebrating God, not. Slaughtering
yeah, it's
your
such
children.
A fun holiday. We have to stop eating bread.
Yeah, it's like I'm going low. I'm going Atkins for a week, so God doesn't send angels to slice my babies.
We eat more stuff like that. It's matza soup and matza balls and matza. Just
yeah, they don't have a moratorium on carbs.
Chocolate covered matza.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, one of my yeah, exactly. man, at work today, this we have this developer, and she's like very much she's like a Telemundo presenter. You know, she's blonde and she's bubbly and she's Mexican.
Oh, a female Telemundo. I thought you meant a complete or just a unicorn, Apple Jacks.
Well, she goes. She turns to this guy whose name might as well be Shloimeh, like fucking Goldstein or something. Like, you know, it's very obvious.
I know that guy.
It's very obvious. It's Jewish because he takes off for every Jewish holiday, right? She turns to him and she's like, so what are you doing for Easter? It's like, ah, oh, you really don't get this, do you? But yeah, I'll be celebrating the best way I know how. I'm going to New Jersey.
I'm going to the Bronx.
Of course you are.
I'm going to put on my hoodie and I'm going to hide my face. I'm going to dart off of the subway and into my parent-in-law's house, and I'm going to eat. I think they might be roasting a pig.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm sure I'll just be having ham.
And as all other Jews do on Easter, we go to the movies.
I thought that was Christmas.
No, it's any every, Christian holiday.
I went to
any Sunday Christian holiday.
The movies and then Chinese food.
Yeah, yeah. I went to the movies on Christmas this year because I was sick instead of drinking.
You saw Dread again?
I usually do. No, I saw Les Mis.
Ah, that was worse.
Nah,
way worse.
Wait, what are you talking about?
The 3D in Les Mis wasn't as good as Dread.
Sure.
You know, the slow-mo violence effects were really better in Dread.
yeah.
You know, and the musical part of Dread.
You're a dumbass. You're a dumbass. You're a dumbass.
The Russell Crowe part of Dread was much better.
Okay, there's a really good... The best song in Dread is only in the trailer. Like, that fucking LaRue remix.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that fucking song is so good. I play that in my car, and the mirrors just like are telling me I want to jump off of your car and stop rattling.
Good night, everybody.
your track just got muted for the entire outro. Okay. I hope you know that, Ed.
You should play the
We're never. You're never leaving the gear at his place again. He held us hostage.
I thought this was great.
Yeah, we had to record with him because he had the gear. This is probably the worst outro we've
ever done. And you're the only one in it. That's why.
Ed, give us a soliloquy.
Just turn off the... Just stop recording. Yeah.
We didn't even talk about the things we need to cover in the outro.
Such as?
I don't know. Website? Twitter? Facebook?
Are you still recording? Kirakuni Tsubashi de